Welcome to an episode, the latest episode of Divorce TV, and I've got quite a busy show today, so it's going to be a lot of faffing around in the background, hoping to get people on at the right time. But we're going to start with, after the news, we've got the experts. We've got a whole gang of them from the Lame Show podcast. We've got Daniil, Drew, Goran, Jamal and Kier. So I'll be introducing them to you all. Then we have a shared story with Tom Nash and a healing with Lucy Ashan. But right now, let's whiz on to the news. So, got some really tricky ones this week. See what you think. Feel free to mention anything in the comments, especially if you don't agree with what I'm saying. Businessman Alan Mohair controlled wife by refusing to grant religious divorce. So this is happening in the UK. A businessman is being privately prosecuted by his ex-wife for allegedly refusing to grant a religious divorce. So Alan Mohair, 56, is accused of controlling Caroline Mohair over the course of the last 5 years, including using threats of violence. Now just remember, this is because she's trying to just get her Jewish divorce, which he's not been allowing, but she's having to go to these enormous lengths to get it, and that's what's so sad about this. It's said that the couple went through civil divorce proceedings, but Mohair then refused to grant a get, the document formally recognising the end of a marriage in the Orthodox Jewish faith. Mrs. Mohair said she has been left unable to remarry due to Mohair's alleged actions. She has now brought a private prosecution alleging controlling and coercive behaviour between 2016 and January this year. Mohair, who lives in Salford, appeared in the dock at Westminster Magistrates Court for a preliminary hearing, pleading not guilty to the charge. According to the charges, Mohair is accused of using or threatening Caroline Mohair with violence, causing her to fear for her own personal safety on two or more occasions. It is said he exercised unreasonable financial control, including by obstructing any financial settlements ordered by the family court, and agreed to a civil divorce but prevented her from obtaining a get, enabling her to remarry in accordance with Jewish law and practice. Mrs. Mohair was in court with supporters for the hearing as the case was sent to Southwark Crown Court for trial. Now, if you know anything about this, I'd love to hear it. I know someone recently I was talking to, I hope she comes on the show soon, because she had a great story to tell, but she had a similar issue. Her husband divorced her legally in the UK, but wouldn't let her get a Jewish get. But what they were able to do was he was able to nominate someone else to be in the get for him. And actually it was the same rabbi who married them. But they had this whole process, and so they got around it that way. But it just seems, it seems extreme that this woman has to bring all this horrible stuff up, just presumably as a way to try and force her, you know, her to be able to get this get, which for some reason she doesn't seem to be able to get any other way, which is a bit disturbing. So moving on to another extremely disturbing case. Angelina Jolie, here she is again, prepared to provide proof and authority of domestic violence in bitter divorce battle with ex-husband Brad Pitt. Now, I know there's two sides to stories, but I am going to be a little bit critical here, I warn you. Documents obtained by The Blast reportedly show the actress, 45, has stated she's willing to offer proof and authority in support of these alleged domestic violence that occurred during her 2-year marriage to the star, 57. The couple share kids Maddox, 19, Zahara, 16, Pax, 17, Shiloh, 14, and twins Knox and Vivian, 12. Note the ages. I mean, they must have an opinion in all this, and are hashing out custody and financial arrangements in the trial, which will see their youngest children provide testimony if they give permission. So they're now dragging the kids into the court, potentially. Soon after the couple filed for divorce in 2016, it was revealed that Brad was being investigated by the FBI and social services in LA, amid reports he got verbally abusive and physical with his children on a private jet but he was cleared. A source told Mail Online she has made similar allegations in the past, which were investigated by the authorities and not substantiated. The source added, "This is the latest sad and desperate attempt to advance a false narrative at any cost." Now, I can't know whether this is true or not in her case, but I have heard many cases where there have been equally, yeah, extreme accusations that haven't been upheld that have caused absolute hell for the co-parents. And I can't see how this is really helping the kids. These have been the same attacks repeated for the last 4.5 years, and anyone who is perceived to be standing in the way can expect to have their credibility challenged. After the 2016 incident, Brad was cleared of abuse allegations by the LA County Department of Children and Family Services, as it was confirmed he had not committed child abuse when he got into a fight with Maddox aboard a private jet. As well as detailing her domestic abuse claims, documents show that the court is seeking permission from the couple for Shiloh, Knox and Vivian to testify. But the change in her high-profile team at this late stage signals Jolly's resolve to get what she wants has only hardened. A source close to Jolly told the Daily Mail, "Angelina has fought tooth and nail to get what she wants in this divorce. When it comes to her kids, she won't back down." But again, my question is, how is this helping her children? In June 2019, Brad, who admitted being an alcoholic at the time of them split, but is now recovered, secured a legal breakthrough when a judge ruled he would be permitted more time with the children. He's believed to see them every few days. My question again is, if they really don't want to see him, I would have thought they would be old enough to say that for themselves. So if anyone knows what's really going on here, do please share. But it doesn't sound very healthy to me. And finally, it's getting worse, I'm afraid, with this one. But this is a great article by Sally Williams in the Mail. It's one of lockdown's most troubling legacies. Estranged couples using the pandemic as an excuse to keep exes from seeing their children. Sally Williams exposes the heartbreaking injustice of the COVID custody wars. And that's a picture there of our own Ruth Driscoll, who's an expert in helping people who have to deal with coercive and controlling people. And Ruth is actually quoted in this article, and she's also running a workshop with me in April for divorcing difficult spouses. A little over a year ago, Sandra, 50, left her marriage to rent a flat near the family home. Her husband, she maintains, was a coercive controller. Through lawyers, the former couple agreed custody would be 50-50 with their two girls. Sandra is a management consultant and well used to negotiation and problem solving. She was happy with the arrangement. But then came COVID. At the beginning of the pandemic, she says, my ex made an announcement through his lawyer saying that he would have the children during lockdown. Claiming he'd seen Sandra out walking with a friend and failing to social distance, her former husband accused her of breaking COVID rules and therefore endangering the children. It was totally fake, says Sandra. He used it as an excuse to have further power, further control over me. My lawyer just batted it back and said, no, this is not happening. She is not breaking the rules. But a year on, Sandra has not seen her younger daughter for 7 months. He claims she doesn't want to be with him. He's poisoned her mind against me, she says. And as the pandemic continues to play out this spring, lawyers across the land are dealing with the tragic fallout among divided and warring families. Parents, they claim, are weaponizing COVID in acrimonious battles for custody. And when one uses the virus as an excuse to deny the other access, it's inevitably the children who suffer. The guidance from parents who live apart states that children under the age of 18 can be moved between their parents' homes after a sensible discussion and an assessment that the children are not being put at risk. That's in the UK. I'm assuming it's something similar in the US. But if parents make snap decisions and break court orders, there is no immediate remedy. You have to rely on the courts to put it right. And even before COVID, there were complaints about how long such court proceedings took. Now it's even longer. Before COVID, getting an initial court hearing would take at least 2 to 3 months. Now it's 5 or 6. And where more acrimonious cases used to take up to a year, now you could be looking at 2 years before any kind of resolution. A man, 40, who works for the NHS, has two girls, aged 7 and 9, with his ex-wife. It was agreed that a man would have the girls every other weekend and one night during the week. But visits stopped in the first lockdown. He says, my ex-wife said she wanted to protect her elderly mum, who lives in the same house, and didn't want me seeing the kids because I work in a hospital and had the potential of catching COVID. I sympathised initially. I thought, okay, fair enough. But in October, when the schools were back, my older daughter actually got COVID, and then I got it too. I said, look, why doesn't she stay with me, for your mum's sake? My ex said, no. So when my daughter actually had COVID, my ex didn't want to protect her mum. Visits resumed briefly at the end of last year, but the current lockdown has meant another period without access. He last saw the girls at the beginning of January. A man exists now in a kind of banishment, only able to see his girls for 10 to 15 minutes a week on FaceTime. So in around 85 to 90% of cases, the parent fighting for access is the father, according to Michael Lukovitz, Director of Communications for the campaigning group Families Need Fathers. Excellent charity. I'm a member too. You should join if you're in the UK. Do wonderful work supporting fathers and mothers. We have fathers, he says, who applied for contact at the beginning of COVID, and nearly a year down the line, they still haven't seen their children. For a young child, not to see a parent at all for months on end is just not good for that child. The parent has to rebuild the relationship almost from scratch. Now, for someone who is controlling and abusive, COVID has given them that extra clout to do and say what they want, says Ruth Driscoll, who coaches women on dealing with controlling partners. It's been much more difficult to get in touch with professionals who can support and help, certainly in the first lockdown, and also much more difficult to enforce anything. So for those who've used COVID to weaponise the children against their partner, it's given them a bit of a field day, really. Some parents claim the virus has given them good cause to deny their former partners time with the children, and I think this is fair enough, okay? We have to balance this, and there are cases of this. When Fran began a casual relationship with Jim back in 2018, she ended up pregnant by accident. It turned out Jim had an explosive temper, however, and also dabbled in drugs, so Fran reached a compromise. He could visit Maddie every other weekend, but only at her house and never alone. When the pandemic hit, Jim's behaviour became even more erratic. He said COVID was a government hoax to introduce martial law. Fran continues, he wasn't following any COVID regulations. In fact, he was actively promoting not wearing masks and saying things like UV light would kill any form of virus. And he still wanted to come and see our child. Fran stopped his visits. She would only agree to meet at a child contact centre. So she didn't actually stop the visits. She just said they needed to be in safe spaces where the children can meet parents they don't live with, because they then have to abide by government regulations on hand washing, social distancing and wearing masks. But Fran says he wasn't willing to accept that. They argued horribly and the case is now with the family courts, though Fran has no idea how long it will take. He's saying that I'm denying him his rights as a father to have access to his daughter and that I'm using COVID as a way of saying he can't come to our home, but I just want to keep my child safe. So cases like this show the situation is not always clear-cut, but one thing's for sure, COVID has driven another cruel wedge between already divided parents, and who knows when its toxic after effects will end. And I've certainly come across it the other way around, where the dads have an ex-wife who is pretending that COVID doesn't really exist. And my message to you, yeah, I don't care what you believe. You can believe it whatever you like. But if you want to see your children, just have the politeness to accept that the other parent might be a bit fearful and just comply so you can see your children. Because otherwise it just looks like ego and it doesn't really look like you're putting your children first. So it's just my personal opinion. You're free to disagree with me in the comments. And now we have our, wow, I've never had so many people on the expert section before. So the first question is, we have to ask, what is the lame show? Which I'm going to move down a little bit here. And I want you all just to introduce yourselves very briefly. Shall we start with, who wants to explain what lame stands for?
All right, I'll go first. The Lame Show Podcast. So we are the hosts of the Lame Show Podcast. We have Daniil, Jamal, Goran, Drew, and Kier. The Lame Show stands for Life After Marriage Ends. We are the hosts. We put this together sometime in 2020, where we started discussing. We're all childhood friends from New York City, and we're all divorced and all have children. So it was just, we have a common bond. So we kind of put it together, and our podcast platform is available on all of the streaming podcast platforms, wherever you get your media from. So definitely go download and listen to them.
And you'll definitely put some links in the show when I send you the links later, because that would be great. Because I was honoured to be a guest on your show. Now, it was such good fun. I really, really enjoyed it. But just briefly pop around all of you, just if you have you got any kind of, from your own experience, how are you reacting to those dreadful news stories I've just related?
Well, the one story that resonated with me but didn't really apply to me was the whole COVID thing, where parents were using COVID as an excuse not to allow their ex-spouses to see their children. I kind of had the opposite dealing with that, because what happened was during COVID, I was pretty much working from home. My children were doing remote schooling, so I actually got to see them more because of COVID. So I'm actually happy. No, I'm not going to say I'm happy about COVID, yeah, but I was able to get a lot closer with my children after the divorce, you know, because of it, because we were basically doing 50-50 time while COVID was going on.
I think that's a really good point. And I think a lot of parents, particularly dads, did benefit, and also just got more, yeah, just more time. I know one dad told me that he'd realised he appreciated more what the mum did, because he could see the sort of the daily grind of childcare, which he hadn't really seen at weekends before.
Yeah, I still can't call me though.
So and give us.
I think moms were very happy to have dads help out when they could, because, as you know, yeah, being at home with 24/7 with a kid under the age of 10, oh, that's homicidal right there sometimes. But I think most of the fathers who wanted the opportunity to see their children more, I think they got it.
Yeah. And what's your advice to Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt? I mean, I do feel sorry for Brad Pitt. You know, he's got himself straight off the booze. He's really clearly desperate to spend time with his, quite, you know, children who are old enough to have a say in how much time they spend with their parents. Do you guys have any idea what's going on there?
No idea, but he definitely needs to watch episode 6 of The Lame Show, where we talk about great ways to co-parent.
Excellent. So give us some tips now. Give us some tips.
Yeah. So, Susie, I got a really good tip from when you were on our show. So yesterday was my son's 22nd birthday, and my ex-wife extended an opportunity for me and my new girlfriend to come over and celebrate his birthday at her place. So we had dinner together as an extended family. It was an awesome time. Wow. And it showed that, you know, co-parenting can evolve when two people mature. So it was great. It was a great way to spend my son's 22nd birthday with everyone.
And that must be so precious for him. And a few years ago, could you have imagined that was possible?
Too late.
So, because I do find that, you know, that what you say is what's possible, and a lot of the time it's just helping people believe it's possible, and that's why such stories like that are so important, because there will be people who go, well, that'll never happen with us, and it's just not necessarily true. How about you other guys? Share some of your own co-parenting stories, kind of things that you've learned that have become possible that maybe you thought once upon a time they would never happen.
Well, me, my experience.
I'm co-parenting.
What you say is what's possible.
Oh, you need to have me, somebody's got their speakers or their get your earphones in. Okay. So, is that Andrew or Daniil? Which one are you? Who were just talking just then?
Daniil.
Go, Daniil.
Right. So for me, it's a little complicated because I'm co-parenting long distance. So COVID really impacted me. I had to find different ways to be present. I think I spoke to you on the show about that, just playing video games, that we can talk and calling every day, setting up time to do homework through Zoom and FaceTime. So it really made me get creative and find ways to be present, even though I'm not physically there. That makes sense?
And it's the wonders of technology. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, 20 years ago, you couldn't have done any of that. And I think it's a huge, huge advantage. But it's great that you're making use of it. And I love, yeah, the idea being able to play the video games, because now it's like ageless, isn't it, video games? So
right.
It's something parents can actually do with their children. So it's really cool. And Jamal, were you going to say something a little bit earlier?
Yes, I was going to say, I think there is a reason why courts have been created. And in these situations, sometimes you have to do your due diligence and sign that paperwork and go to court to make sure you get your rights. So that's the situation that I had to go through. And once the courts came involved, we were on equal playing field. So there wasn't anyone not listening to your story. There wasn't anyone not feeling like you don't have a say or you don't have a role in your child's life. So it's a lot of work, but you have to go through with it. I look at it this way. If you knew where your child was and you had to walk there for the next 2 years, would you do it? Yeah, you would do it. You would walk those 2 years because you know what you have to do. Mm. Same with the courts. You know what you have to do. Go ahead and do it, and your day will come.
And that's what they're there for. I always say that you can't. It's very hard to be peaceful if you don't have clear boundaries. Yeah. And the courts give you boundaries. You know, if someone's messing about, right, they're much more likely to come to the table and talk if someone says, well, if you go to court, you might not get what you think. And it's the two work together. And one of the big problems we have here, it'd be interesting to see what you say about in the States, obviously many different states in the States, but is we have a big problem here that you may have a court order, but you've then got to enforce it. And that can be a long and tedious process, which I personally think is a bit of a problem. So what, do you have a similar thing there? Or is once you've got that court order, it happens and it's enforced and that's it? Or is that not the case?
No, court orders have to, two parents will definitely, you know, create one, but it has to be followed. And if it's not followed, then, you know, child protective services or child custody, or you have to take them back to family court to enforce those orders.
And is that a long and difficult process? Come up.
You have to have the police come up and enforce the child to come with you, as long as you show that document.
I'm so glad.
Lame show, we talk about that a lot. The issues that we have divorcing and feeling like our children are being caught in the middle. So this is a very touchy subject. But we addressed that on the link, though, on several episodes.
Thank you. And Kia, what were you just going to say?
No, I was just going to say I'm really happy that me and my ex were adults about the whole situation, and you know, we're able to you know, find a good co-parenting situation amongst us. My daughter has two loving homes and is back and forth between them very, very frequently. And we didn't really involve the courts. We did go through a divorce, but in regards to co-parenting, we have a very smooth relationship. So I'm very happy about that, especially hearing the horror stories that you just kind of referenced.
Oh yeah.
And that's what everyone should always aim for. And I was very lucky with my kid's dad as well. But we still had our down points. But it's holding the faith, isn't it? And I think that's what I really feel for those dads who have to battle through the courts and have someone who's very, very difficult. How do you, in fact, that's a good way to round off, perhaps individually, could you all give your kind of top tip on how to stay sane and to keep the faith and to keep the hope? Maybe
you want to go for it?
Yeah,
go for it.
Go, Gore. No, go.
I was going to say communication is key.
Yeah. And I always recommend the our family wizard and creating a co-parenting plan, and because you can create those set types of communication, we don't actually have to talk to each other. which can be good at times. So, but again, keeping the communication flow. What about you, Kia?
I piggyback off of Goran. I mean, you have to keep the lines of communication open. Again, I've developed a good back and forth with my ex, and you know, we live very close proximity, so my daughter's back and forth between the two houses. We raise our daughter together, and the fact that, you know, our relationship didn't work out doesn't mean that we still are not going to be, you know, good parents for our daughter.
Brilliant. And how about you, Andrew and Daniil?
So for me, it's just keep it about the children and not about the I. It always works.
Brilliant.
And for me, I think it's communication, but you have to be talking to your children as well, not just with their parent, with the mom. So I think it's talking to both parties. So everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, they're very good advice. Mm-hmm. And Jamal?
Oh boy.
I would say get yourself a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
I knew it. I knew it.
A distraction.
I'm going to keep you off the ledge. because when someone is denying you access to your child, the insanity that comes upon you is just overwhelming. So while you're thinking up these crazy things to do to your ex, you need that boyfriend or girlfriend to talk off the ledge.
That's very great advice. Thank you so much. Brilliant fun. I'd love to have you back on the show, especially now I've known how to get you all on at once. To next time. Thank you so much, guys. And I'll look forward to listening to your next podcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, a cool bunch of guys. So, yeah, check out their podcasts. You don't have to be a dad to enjoy it. So we're going to... I'm just going to bring in Tom shortly. He's going to be doing our... shared story, another of his shared stories, and that's going to be on a co-parenting. And we're going to just briefly now fly through our masterclass. I wanted to say something about this, part of the best way to divorce discovery journey. It's in the app. You can get access to it there. Reject is the stage that we're at now. And you might think, well, why would you need reject in going through a divorce? Well, sometimes, and this is my favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes from Marianne Williamson. She says, sometimes love is saying no. A relationship based on strong boundaries and clear intentions, with the focus being the welfare of the children, can be maintained despite not liking the other person. The use of online calendars and mediators, as we're just talking about with the Lame Show guys, for an annual discussion about amendments to the parenting plan, just keeping that communication going will make that relationship easier to manage successfully, even if you're not best friends. Are you wasting your energy complaining about how unreliable the other parent is in arranging time with the children? Well, why not use an online diary specially created to show that what's been suggested, what's been actually agreed on, a clear record of communications. No one can say, I didn't see that email, because it isn't on an email. It's a message in the online platform that shows whether it's been read or not. Accountability. What other areas cause constant conflict and annoyance? You need to think about that and do something about it. How can you take more responsibility for rejecting that behaviour? And just saying no to it by making it more difficult for them to behave in that way, and by removing the obstacles to what you do want to happen. Quite often I find that people are so busy moaning, but when you say, well, what do you actually want them to do, what do you want to happen, they haven't got a clue. So reject that way of thinking, and if things are not going well, reject that and find a better way forwards. So reject to say no is sometimes a loving act. It is with our children, and sometimes it is also with our ex and our co-parents. So we're going to come now for our shared story. And hopefully I've got Tom in here. Yes, you're there. Magically you've appeared. So, Tom, what? Very well. What's the story you're going to tell us today?
Well, firstly, I really love listening to the guys there. I've already followed them on Instagram whilst I was watching, so I'll be following there closely. But following on from kind of the co-parenting side, because I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago as well, and my experiences, I thought this week actually we'd talk around a slightly different subject that's slightly adjacent, which is around blended families, when you're putting two families together. Yes. And the kind of the pitfalls and the do's and don'ts that I've experienced. I actually grew up as one of seven in a blended family. Mm-hmm. Blended family wasn't a term in 1986, when that family was formed. But I was the second youngest of that bunch of seven. So me, my two sisters from the same biological parents. Then I had three younger stepbrothers, and then my parents had one together as well. So I had a younger half brother.
Like a tribe, really. It was a tribe.
Yeah. Like the Brady Bunch, just not as talented in that respect. it was those kind of lessons, I suppose, those pitfalls and those kind of peaks and troughs that I'd experienced of learning how to do that in the way that myself and my partner approached putting our two families together. Because I've got two boys from my first marriage, and I'm very lucky enough to have a bonus daughter and bonus son as well from my partner's children. And it was more around those kind of experiences, those do's and don'ts of how we approached it and what made it. Has made it so successful. I think you know as well that both of our exes are a couple as well. So actually these four children are moving between two homes as opposed to four homes in that respect. And I think one of the biggest kind of, I suppose, do's, if you like, from my experience and witnessing it in the kids and from talking to them as well, is, I suppose, a wider theme of equality and inclusion. About everybody being equal and involved in that process. You guys are talking a minute ago in co-parenting around boundaries, and again you have to agree new family rules and new family boundaries of this blended family, and having two sets of rules for the different sides of the bloodlines, if you like, can create a lot of confusion and disparity and essentially problems within the ranks further down the line as well, and how they all kind of learn to work together. It's also around those kind of bonds that you're trying to form as well. I think one of the biggest things is around trying to help, and a lot of work that I do in coaching couples when they're putting two families together is, don't try to rush it. Let it be what it'll be, and let them, don't try and force the issues. Don't try and force the kids to become friends. They have to find their own connection and their own bonds in the way that they kind of learn to gel together. And I was also thinking around the obvious things around not speaking ill of the other parents as well. I think I've mentioned to you before about the situation about inviting my partner's ex-husband in for dinner that time, start breaking that bond of it being a contentious issue, and actually going the other way and showing the other parents that mutual respect and appreciation, because these are ultimately the most important people in their lives. And that kind of links on to you as a step parent. I've had this conversation with a number of friends of mine who are also parents and step parents, and we're all in agreement being a parent is ultimately a hard job. We know it is, and there's no book for it. We learn as we go. It is infinitely harder being a step parent because when you don't, you have to learn those boundaries of what is right and wrong, and forge that new relationship where you're not the parent necessarily yet, or not necessarily seen as a parent yet, but actually it's still a great opportunity for you to be able to build a different relationship, even in those earlier days, as a confidant and as a guide and an additional adult to turn to for support as well. So key about not making sure that you're not kind of replacing that other parent as well, and also creating an environment where they want to be together.
It's a very tricky balance indeed for co-parents. I always do feel for them, and I believe sometimes they make this, can be a mistake, not every case. I remember one co-parent said, "Don't try and be your children's friend. You're not their friend. You're co-parents, because your boundaries can get very messy, and you can find yourself in getting in a muddle." So I think it's particularly with younger children. That must be quite a challenge. When you say that you managed to get the rules the same in the different households, because quite often that isn't possible, and I always say, well, as long as it's consistent, the kids can work it, but they will leverage that. So you're going to have a more harmonious time if you have agreed rules, definitely. So how did you do that? Was it sitting around a dinner table or down the pub or online? How did you make
Well, unfortunately, due to COVID, in recent times, it hasn't been down the pub, although it'll be in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully. But no, again, it's about that engagement. And I think it's Goran that was saying around communication being key, and he's absolutely right, and keeping that open forum. And it's not to say that all of the rules and boundaries have to be the exact same in the same houses. I suppose my point in terms of a blended family, our rules between my different approaches to parenting to, say, my partner's with her children, and how she used to parent her children, and how I used to parent mine. And now we're trying to find this new way, this new compromise, and these new rules. But funny enough that you say that about with your co-parents, and where obviously we've got four kids going to another house with the alternate parents. We actually had a situation only about a couple of weeks, a couple of months ago, and it was actually having to recognize where the kids are trying to say, well, at this house we do this and at this house we do that, and actually when the parents then started to work together and stop being our own obstacles, we can actually help each other. We can actually work together and go, well, actually, they're telling us this here, what they're saying at yours. Yeah. And then we can actually work iron that out and go, right, actually, no, the rules are the same here and there.
Yeah, fact-checking is important with the other parent. Oh, yeah. That's really great advice. Thank you so much, Tom. It's lovely to see you. And see you again soon, I hope. Bye for now.
Take care.
Right, before we get wonderful, we're having a lovely healing coming up very soon. Oh, my camera's gone blurry. And I've updated. This is what the app looks like at the moment. It's a free Best Way to Divorce app. Get it on any phone or device. You can even use it on your laptop. It's the main one I wanted to bring to people's attention is at the moment we've got the workshop. It's coming up in April. I'm afraid that's pretty much full now. That's Divorcing a Difficult Spouse. It's a UK workshop, but still useful for anybody because of we do finances and co-parenting. But I do have a financial one coming up soon in June, so which is more of a kind of a boot camp to prepare for divorce or turn around a messy divorce and have saved vast amounts of money and stress. Then we've got I've got a social group in the app. There's the divorce secret divorce group, which is a subscription group where people get lots of support, but I've also got a free one where to share useful stuff. I recently put in a great post that I saw online, which is books for children to help them cope with the divorce. So again, free app. This is in the free thing. If you've got children and you're thinking, how do we support them through this? Sometimes these stories, especially for the little ones, can be really, really valuable. Rosalind Sadaka, the child coaching expert, she shared this on LinkedIn, so I nabbed it and put it in my app. And as I said, this workshop is pretty much full now, but there is space on the Don't Be Scared of the Divorce Finance Fears. And if you're looking back on this, use the QR code. If you're hearing it on the Apple, podcast or wherever you might be hearing it, or it's audio and you're annoyed that I talk about QR codes, just go to best way to actually I've got the link up here, and I shall just make sure I give you the right one. And pinging around all over the place. bestwaytodivorce.online, that will take you straight to the app. bestwaytodivorce.online if you are listening to this and can't see anything. Now let's get ready for our healing. Take a deep breath, relax, and I'm going to be introducing you to Lucy.
Your attention to
Hi Lucy. Hi Lucy. Hang on a sec. There was a. Are you not able to see? You're standing away. There's a tile introducing you. So now you're here. You can speak now. I don't want you to waste your wise words. So before we go into the actual meditation, just tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing with us.
Yeah. So it's a sort of guided meditation to help people with their mind and body. Often we have a lot of stress, which is, my understanding, excess tension in our body. And so one way to get more harmony and to restore our energy is to actually reunite our mind and muscles. So I'm going to be talking through some of that with you.
Do you have a earpiece at all or headphones that you're able to use? I just want you to get the best possible, because I think it's a little bit hissy. If you haven't, don't worry, but it's just a shame not to get the best quality if you've got them handy.
Over the other side of the room, can you just bear?
That's fine. I can happily chat away while you do that, because I think especially for a meditation we want the best possible sign. So while Lucy's doing that, I just wanted to say thank you to all the lovely healers and therapists and health coaches who have given up their time to be part of this venture, the Divorce TV show, because it's really, really important to me that people are able to end the show in a way that kind of brings you down to earth. So we started the show with some really quite toxic divorce stories. Then we have great fun talking to the guys from The Lame Show, and we're chatting with Tom about the co-parenting. But at the end of the day, being able to breathe and let go isn't just a nice way to end the show, it's also something that you need to be doing regularly, because co-parenting is stressful. parenting is stressful, COVID is stressful. So putting time in your life to do these things is really, really beneficial. And anything that's good for you is also good for your children. So I'm Lucy, I'm going to move on to the next tile and I'm just going to let you take it away.
Okay. So can you just gently move your attention to whatever you're being supported by at the moment? So your feet on the ground, just noticing how they already are. There's nothing to change, nothing to get right. No possibility of getting this wrong. It's simply acknowledging what is already here supporting you. You're just noticing the shape your feet are taking with the ground and the furniture. Allowing them unfurled, unclenched. And do the same with your bottom on the chair, allowing yourself to really rest. Sometimes we find ourselves slightly lifted up away from the furniture, unintentionally hovering, levitating a little bit. Here's a chance to really rest and connect. Just noticing those contact points with the furniture and the floor and allowing yourself to consciously release any excess energy, excess tension, so that your weight can be taken down with gravity, down to the chair, down to the floor. You may notice some gentle effects from this. Maybe your breathing starts to get a bit deeper. You have a little sigh. Don't force anything. We're not trying to deliberately change our breath. But it can be interesting to notice that moving our attention to far away places like our feet can actually change our breathing as well. And then if you bring your attention up to the top of your head, so just having a sense of the space above your head up to the ceiling, so that you can know your own edges. You can know how tall you are. You'll be aware of the contact and the support you're getting from the ground and the furniture. And that you're as tall as you are right now in this moment. And for now, all you need to do is look after yourself. You're reuniting your mind, your muscles, your body. And delicately asking our muscles to release any excess tension. So you can rest. I'm not asking you to over-relax or do anything particular, but we're just reuniting mind and muscle, so that you can become more whole, more together. Quite often when we're dealing with new information, then we can actually get a bit distracted and our energy can get a bit out and away from our body. So we're wanting to really see how we can come back to our centre, come back to ourselves. So we start up again with the ground supporting us, the chair underneath our bottom, and the space above our head. And then noticing that your ribs and your chest are movable. Noticing that there's a certain movement that already happens, like you're watching the tide of your breath. We don't need to push or pull the air around any more than we need to do that with the waves in the ocean. It's a chance to simply observe what's already happening in nature and to allow your ribs to join in the movement, allow your tummy muscles and soften. Letting your elbows ungrip the sides of your body and let your hands unclench. Sometimes we have lots of tension that we're unwittingly not deliberately holding in our hands. Seeing whether you can release that just with a softening. You don't have to go as far as actually stretching or moving your hands. And then we'll come back again to noticing the ground underneath our feet, the chair underneath your sitting bones, space above your head so you can unclench. You can be restored to your full, easy height. Allowing your breath to move you. Softening around your so the whole of your abdomen, your chest and your ribs can join in the movement, tired of your breath. Allowing your arms to be the widest part of the body. As you reclaim your own space, you're taking up your full size and shape. There's a certain power that you've got charge of right now. Your thoughts, your mind, your muscles. So however you are right now is absolutely fine. Just taking stock of how you are. Reminding yourself of the invisible forces of support that you currently have, the ground and gravity, invisible nourishing support of the air coming into you with oxygen, all sorts of good fuel for your body. And as you breathe out, letting go of all the things that no longer serve you, you sort of fumes from your body. So just watch the air as it comes in, bringing nourishment, bringing you oxygen, new energy, letting your body expand to take it all in without force. And then releasing that so that the air can come out all the way. Taking the fumes, taking that which no longer serves you out away from you. Just spend a few moments just being with yourself as you are right now. The situation you're in may not be ideal, but it is as it is, and we can waste a lot of energy by trying to fight our reality. And this is one simple way of taking stock and returning to the very ground of our reality. Here we are, this is the shape our body's in. And we can choose to release a little bit of stress and strain by unclenching our muscles, by letting our feet rest, sitting bones rest, head releasing up into the space above you, unclenching your arms so that your chest has room to move as the breath comes in and out. Watching yourself being human, watching yourself being resourced. And this is a practice you can take with you into the rest of the day. You can take with you into night time, depending on when you're watching or listening to this. Very simple to reconnect with reality. Support from the ground, from gravity, through all the points of connection that you currently have right now. Unclenching your ribs, unclenching your tummy, so that your lungs can just fill up with air very naturally and spontaneously. As much or as little air as you need right now for sitting, standing, listening. When you're ready, you let the out-breath just release all by itself, letting the out-breath have its full journey, its full life to the end of the breath, not forcing anything, but but not stopping it partway either. Watching as your whole torso joins in with the movement. In this way, we literally reclaim our fullness. Bit by bit, we reclaim our attention, we can manage our mind, and we can de-stress a little bit. Again and again, it's a practice over and over. So whenever you need to look after yourself, simply remember what it is you're already connected to underneath you, that support, and give yourself permission to really rest. It may surprise you how much effort you've had resisting that support, maybe not trusting it quite, or trying to sort of push and dig a little bit to get certain feedback. So if you can just lightly and delicately move your attention so that you're really allowing yourself to be here as you are, accepting yourself just as you are, encouraging yourself to be breathable.
Thank you. That was a lovely little meditation. A little bit hissy. Maybe get a nice microphone, invest in one, because it was actually a lovely meditation. And if you can get the sound up, I'd love to have you back again. So everyone calm, everyone ready now. Because in the war of divorce, on the battlefield of family separation, always make peace your weapon of choice.